know that one of the Isurim in the Torah is to eat from the new grain until the Korban HaOmer is brought. And when there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Korban HaOmer. So the halacha is you're allowed to eat from the new grain the morning of the 16th of Nisan. And Midrabanan, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, was misaken that you can't eat until the completion of the entire day. And this is a din d'oraisa, whether there is a Beis HaMikdash or there is not a Beis HaMikdash. Interestingly enough, the Talmud Yerushalmi raises the question that the very first Pesach that the Jews came to Eretz Yisrael, the Jews crossed the Yardin on the 10th of Nisan, and they had to eat matzah. They no longer had man. And anyway, you can't be yaitzei matzah from man. Chayra. That's the grain. So they didn't have any grain with them. So the only grain they had, the pasuk says, "Vayochlu miyavur haaretz." They ate from the new grain, but the chayra. The Chadash does not become mutter until the 16th of Nisan, when you matter the Omer. So how did they fulfill the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah that very first Pesach? Because Hakrevas HaOmer is not until the second day of Pesach. This is the Kasha of the Talmud Yerushalmi, and Tosfos in Kedushin brings it, and Tosfos quotes two tirutzim that the Yerushalmi gives. I'm misspeaking. The Yerushalmi says they did not fulfill matzah. Because since the pasuk of Yeshua says, they ate from the new grain only after Akravas HaOmer, the Yerushalmi says that first year they did not fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. So the Yerushalmi then asks, why don't I say, Esei Doche Lo Sase? There's a positive commandment to eat matzah. There's a negative commandment of eating chadash. The only way you can fulfill the positive is by transgressing the negative. So let's say, Esei Doche Lo Sase. Right? So the Yerushalmi gives two tirutzim for this. One answer that it gives is that the Asay of Matzah is weaker than the Lav of Chadash, because the Asay of Matzah was given to Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. It was not given, this is the Yerushalmi says, at Matan Torah. It was given by Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the Yerushalmi actually takes that as a weakness rather than a strength, and such a mitzvah cannot be Doche a Lo Sase. The Maaseh of the Shagas Aryeh says this seems to be contradicted by the Bavli itself, because the Bavli says in a number of places that an asay shekodem hadibor, a mitzvah asay that is prior to Matan Torah, has a special significance. Okay, but this is the first answer. The second answer the Yerushalmi gives is that this is an early example of an Isur D'Rabbanan, an Isur D'Rabbanan that existed even in the days of Yehoshua ben Nun, and that is, they were not permitted to eat the first kezias, lest they come and eat an additional kezias. How is that so? Because it is true that the mitzvah of matzah overrides the negative commandment of chadash, if there's no other way, but that's only the obligatory eating of matzah, which is one kezias. If you eat more than that, you're doing an aveira without a fulfillment of a mitzvah, and therefore, chachamim were gozer, do not eat a kezias rishon, lest you come to eat a kezias sheni. The Gemara says a similar halacha applies by yibum. Let's say, for example, that a kohen married a divorced woman, which he's not allowed to marry. But he married a divorced woman. The kohen then dies without children. So can his brother, who is a kohen, do a mitzvah of yibum on a grusha? So the Gemara says in Yevamos, the oraisa he could. Because asay, the mitzvah of yibum, will override the negative commandment of a kohen marrying a grusha. However, that would be limited to the basic mitzvah, which is one bia. A second bia would be forbidden, because that's only a lav without a mitzvah. And the chachamim were gozer, bia rishona, because of bia shniya. Yerushalmi says the same thing, kezayis rishon, atu kezayis shen. Okay, this is an example of an issue grabonic.
What about
This is the question. This is the question the Shagas Aryeh asks, because the Gemara says that the fact that Bris Mila is Docha Shabbos is not a raya to other cases, because one of the reviews Bris Mila is more significant because it was even given Kodem Hadibur. So that's a raya that the Bavli does not agree with the Yerushalmi's assumption. So the Bavli would have to go with the second answer, where Gozer Kezayis Rishon, because of Kezayis Sheni. Now, there are two machlokes, and I know many of you are familiar with this, just for the benefit of everybody. This problem about chadash, right? Chadash is an issue via raisa, and chadash clearly is not limited to where there's a base of mikdash. If there's a machlokes in the Mishnah in Kedushin, does chadash apply to oraisa in chutz la'aretz, or does it not apply to oraisa in chutz la'aretz? Rabbi Eliezer says, chadash is not a mitzvah tuluya bi'aretz at all. Chadash is noheg in chutz la'aretz. That means even in the grain of chutz la'aretz, min ha'Torah. And the reason Rabbi Eliezer says that is very simple. When the Torah gives the issur of eating chadash, it says, chukas olam ledoro seichem, b'chol moshvo seichem, b'chol moshvo seichem, wherever you live. So there's no naftamina between chutz la'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Chachamim are cholek on Rabbi Eliezer, and they darshan chukas olam b'chol moshvo seichem is a totally different drasha. They have to use it for a kula. That the mitzvah of chadash to oraisa is only noeg in Eretz Yisrael. But it's not noeg as soon as we get to Eretz Yisrael. It is noeg only after the 14 years, because 7 years were conquest and 7 years of division. So b'chol moshvo seichem means every person has to have his allotted chelek. So it's a kula, that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not in chutz la'aretz. Now the pashtus, if all you had was a Mishnah in Kedushin, which gave you a machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, you would normally say, obviously, Yachid Rabin, a minority opinion against a majority opinion, you follow the majority. So that would be great. That would mean, at least on a Doraisa level, it still doesn't answer the Drabanan, that Chadash does not apply to the grain of Chutzlef. It still applies to Eretz Yisrael, but it doesn't apply to Chutzlef. The problem is that there's a Stam Mishnah in Maseches Orla. And the Stam Mishnah, that means without any mention of the Machlokas, the Stam Mishnah says, Chadash noheg b'chol makom min ha'Torah. It says min ha'Torah. Chadash applies everywhere min ha'Torah. Now because of this Stam Mishnah, most Rishonim, the Rif, the Rambam, and indeed the Shulchan Aruch, all rule like Rabbi Eliezer, because they say the Stam Mishnah in Orla overrides the Machlokas in Kedushin. Now you may ask a question about this, because we have Klolim. Often we have Mishnayos in which in one Mishnah there's a Machlokas and then another Mishnah is a Stam. And what does that indicate in terms of what the Halacha should be? So in fact the Gemara says there's a difference if first there's the Machlokas followed by a Stam, or first there's a Stam followed by a Machlokas. If first there's a Machlokas followed by a Stam, that is treated as an indicator that you follow the Stam, because after we've been exposed to both views, we are then given a final decision that indicates Machlokas Yachid Kastam, Halachik Stam. But the problem is, when you first have a Stam, and then later you have a Machlokas, it carries the opposite connotation. That at first, Rebbe, let's say, was only aware of one view, but then he decided to give you the other view to indicate you should follow the other view. Now, in this situation, the Stam Mishnah in Maseches Orla that indicates Chadash does apply to Oraisa and Chutz La'aretz is in Seder Zeroim, and the Machlokas, which gives you the two views, is in Maseches Kedushin. So if you simply follow it literally, it is actually a Stam B'yachar Kach Machlokas, which would lend support to following the view of the Chachamim, which again would be good for us, but it would be the opposite of the Pesach of the Rambam and the Rif and the Rush. So here we get into a shaila about in two masechtos is there a seder l'mishnah, meaning to say that the normal rule that we look at whether it's a machlokas and then a stam or a stam and a machlokas clearly applies within a single masechta, because all the mishnayos in the masechta were arranged by Yehuda Nasi in a certain order, and therefore machlokas followed by stam and stam followed by machlokas were done intentionally. But in two masechtos, kal v'chomer, if it's two different sedorim, we actually say ein seder l'mishnah. We don't really know which Rebbe taught first, which Rebbe taught later, and therefore, in defense of the Rambam's pesach, the argument is that, it's not clear how they're still justified. Meaning to say, you can't be machriya if it's a machlokas v'yachar kach stam, or a stam biachar kach machlokas. Of course, this doesn't get you that far, because, all right, you can't be machriya. But still, one might have said, if you can't be machriya based on machlokas biachar kach stam, then we ought to go back to the general rule, yachid v'rabim halacha k'rabim. In other words, to say we can't be machriya, therefore we go like Rabbi Eliezer, who's recorded as a das yachid, that simply doesn't follow, because if you can't be machriya based on sequencing, one should follow the rabbit. Okay, but be it as it may, as I say, most Rishonim do paskin that at least in chutz ol ha'aretz, the yisur of chadash is the araisa, even bisman hazeh, and this is the psak of the shulchan aruch. Now remember, the definition of what is chadash is any grain that did not take roots before the omer is called chadash. If it took root before the omer, even though all of its growth was afterwards and it was harvested afterwards, that's called the old year that the omer takes care of. Yeah, that could very well be, because like this, obviously, if Yushalmi says that the first year they crossed the Yarden, they couldn't eat matzah because of an Isser Chadash, the Yushalmi does not interpret the Chol Moshe Seichem to mean Chadash doesn't apply until after the 14 years. And therefore the only alternative interpretation is that Chadash applies even in Chutz La'aretz. So it could be that the stammer of the Yushalmi follows Rabbi Eliezer's view. Now, there are Rishonim that say that we paskin like the Chachamim because of Yochid V'Rabim Halacha K'Rabim, which would mean indeed that Chadash in Chutz La'aretz is only an Isser D'Rabbanim, but that still doesn't mean that it's Mutter, that just means it's an Isser D'Rabbanim. In other words, it seems to be that the Derech Klal, the two choices we have is it an Isser D'Araisa or is it an Isser D'Rabbanim? We don't have a Shaila D'Etzem, is it Mutter or is it Usser? But I see that the Aruch HaShulchan quotes the Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah was, in fact, he was very enthusiastic about this, because now the Aruch HaShulchan's big thing is to try to defend the minhagim of the Eastern European Ashkenazic communities. In other words, he felt that if Klal Yisrael were doing something, you've got to find a way that it would be justified, and the obvious observation was made, even the Ramah pointed it out, that most people were not Zohir at all in the Yisrael of Chadash. And he finds from the Or Zeruah that the Or Zeruah says, in fact, he even says, Or Zeruah, let's see, across the puzzle, Or Zeruah, let's tzaddik, Ili Yisrael Leif Simcha, because we found the Or Zeruah who's a tzaddik, so all of Achenu B'nai Yisrael that are Yisrael Leif are now B'simcha, that they don't have to keep the Yisrael of Chadash. And he's very enthusiastic, very unusually effusive about this. But he brings the Or Zeruah that says the following. If we posit that the Yisrael of Chadash is only Midrabanah, because we paskin like the Chachamim, it would be similar to what the Gemara says that outside of Eretz Yisrael, even Trumos and Masros are Drabbanim. The Gemara mentions in a number of places that there's something called Trumas Chutz La'aretz that is Drabbanim. And what does that mean, Trumas Chutz La'aretz? We don't take off Trumas Chutz La'aretz. So all the Rishonim explain, this referred to a very limited geographical area of lands that are adjacent to Eretz Yisrael. So the Or Zeruah writes, the meaning of Chadash being an Easter Drabbana is the same meaning as Truma in Chutzala Aretz being a Chi of Drabbanan, meaning it's limited to Artsos, Hasmuchos, the Eretz Yisrael, which would include Ammon, Moab, and Mitzrayim. Again, Ammon and Moab would be Jordan, so indeed, if somebody is in Amman, I think they tried to open a kosher restaurant in Amman. Well, it closed down fairly quickly, but the concept would be that they would have to keep it midrabanan, so to speak, but it wouldn't apply to Poland, to Russia, and certainly to America. So that's a bit of a chiddush. That's a chiddush, really, that, except for the Or Zeruah, is not made clear, because the Pashtus, the whole debate is it d'oraisa or is it drabanan? Rov Rishonim say it's the d'oraisa l'gamri. The miut that is mekel says it's drabanan, but the Or Zeruah comes along and teaches us that the meaning of drabanan is only with artsos asmuchas. Now, the Ramah says that he gives a different reason why in Poland, again, this is Poland in the 1500s, one could be Mekel, because even if we accept that Chadash might be a Dereisa Dika Halacha, but he says we could matir grain or flour or beer because of the principle of a double doubt. Any piece of grain that I have, any piece of bread that I have a double doubt. What is the double doubt? So the Ramah says the following. Doubt number one is maybe this came from last year's harvest. Old grain. And even if we're machmir and we have to assume it came from this year's harvest, maybe this year's harvest, this took root before the Omer, and therefore the Omer would not do it. The Ramah calls that a double doubt. Now we do have a principle in Halacha, that even on an issue of the Araisa, even though one doubt I have to be strict, if it's a double doubt, I could be lenient. Rabbi Kivager asks, however, a very logical question. Rabbi Kivager asks, how could that be a double doubt? A double doubt is when each doubt is an independent basis to say something is mutter. I mean, I'll give you an example. Let's assume just that a certain halacha depended on whether the egg was born on Shabbos. Let's say muktzah, right? If the egg is born on Shabbos, it's usher. If the egg was born before Shabbos, it's mutter. I have a suffix. The truth is, in halacha, if I'm a suffix, if it's born on Shabbos or not, I have to be machna. Even though it's a drabanan, I have to be machna. Why don't you make it a sveka? First of all, maybe it was born on Thursday. And even if I'm going to be machler and say it wasn't born on Thursday, maybe it was born on Friday. So I have a double doubt. I have a triple, I have a six-fold doubt. Maybe it was born on Sunday, and if not on Sunday, maybe Monday. The answer is, that's not a sveka. Because halachically, it is irrelevant if it was Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. The only relevance in halacha is Shabbos or not Shabbos. That's one doubt. The fact that there are different possibilities on one side of the doubt does not make it a sveik. Jeremy Kivager says the Ramah's sveik is exactly that. The issue of Omer is, if the grain took root before the second day of Pesach, whether it was harvested a year ago or not, it'll be mutter. If it took root afterwards, it'll be usher till next Pesach. Whether it's last year's harvest or whether it's this year's harvest that was nitzer with the omer makes no difference. The only question is it chadash or yasha? So Rabbi Kivager actually says he doesn't understand in the Ramah's lamdas how that could be treated as a sveika. The Aruch HaShulchan wants to be miyashe. He wants to give a possible answer to this, and that is, although it's true that you can't make a sveika when a possibility has no halachic relevance, like Monday or Tuesday. But here, it is relevant whether it's new this year's harvest or not, because like this, if it's last year's harvest, it was nitzer with last year's omer. So the nafkamina is, could I bring this grain, if there's a Beis HaMikdash, could I bring this grain as a korban omer? That does depend, meaning, if it's last year's harvest, it could not be brought, because the only thing you could bring for the omer is grain that still has an Isser Chadash until you bring the Omer. Therefore, the two doubts, first of all, maybe it's last year's grain. And even if it's not last year's grain, maybe it's this year's grain, but it was Mishrash before the Omer, are not considered to be in different possibilities because they do have halakhic ramifications. In other words, unlike the case of the egg, where an egg that's born on Thursday is absolutely no different than an egg that's born on Wednesday, here the two tzedim of the Safek do have a halachic significance. Although, one might still say, yes, but they have no halachic significance regarding the Isser Chadash. They only have halachic significance regarding the ability to be makrivit for the Omer. Okay. But be this as it may, this is the famous sveik of the Ramah. Yeah.
You couldn't say that there are two possible material,
and
last year's matter or this year's
matter. Right. Well, okay, that's really kind of what the Aruch HaShulchan is saying.
Even without the issue of Omer, why don't we have...
Well, because the problem is that it's either mutter or usher. In other words, there's only one side of the right. There's no separate material. Although it's a separate, is it this omer or that omer? But ultimately, the analogy would be, it's not chadash. Right. It'll be similar to that. Now, the Velt, most of the Torah world, until fairly recently, followed these various psukim of the Ramah. Again, the truth is, you see, the Ramah is much more problematical than the Aruch HaShulchan. Because the Aruch HaShulchan, albeit it's only a Das Yachid, does give you a definitive reason. And the Aruch HaShulchan is telling you, even if I know it's Chadash, I absolutely know it's Chadash, I'm allowed to eat it, because we paskin like the Chachamim that Chadash is Rabbanan, and the way the Or Zeruah learns, that Isser Drabbanan only applies for Artzos HaSmuchos, the earth. The Ramazlam, this is very different. The Ramah is giving me permission to be ignorant and make an assumption that this is not Kadosh. The problem is that to apply that Ramah indiscriminately when you know that's no longer the case, how you can't do that. I mean, we know through statistics and compositions of flour and the like, that at various times in the wheat harvest, first of all, most rye is going to be Chadash. Again, I actually looked at it, the Department of Agriculture reports. I'll just give you an example. Rye, this is an average, rye is generally planted in September, and it's a fairly long growing season, and you harvest it in July, next July. So by the time rye reaches the market, it'll never be a Chadash problem, because Pesach will intervene between the planting and the harvesting. Now that doesn't mean rye bread is not a Chadash problem, because rye is very heavy, and rye bread has at least 25% wheat flour. Right? So this is not a heder for rye bread, but pure rye, theoretically, is never a Chadash problem. On the other hand, let's take barley. Barley is commonly planted in April, mid-April, and it's harvested in August and September. Now, if Pesach is early that year, that would mean that the barley would often be planted after Pesach, and it would come to market around Rosh Hashanah time, and it wouldn't be mature until next Hakrabas Oyer. So barley has several months a year where there clearly is a Yasha and a Chadash problem. Same thing with oats. Oats also are April, planted in April. Oats grow very quickly. It's in April, July. So it can be planted after Pesach, harvested before Tisha B'Av. So you clearly are going to have a problem. Wheat, it depends. There are two different plantings. There's what's called spring wheat, and there's what is called winter wheat. Spring wheat is planted in the spring, harvested in the summer. So that's going to be a Chadash problem, because you plant it after Pesach, some years at least. You harvest it before next Pesach. Winter wheat, which is planted in the September, the fall, just grows during the winter, and you harvest it in July, will not be a problem because Pesach is in the middle. So the point is, we no longer can make the assumption. Now, of course, it gets complicated, I think you mentioned last week, because for many years the government was storing up grain and using old reserves, putting the new reserves in. So for some years it may have been true that most of the grain out there was not Chadash. Even then there's a shaila. Is there a principle of rov here? The Ramah says there's a principle of double doubts. But is there a principle of rov? Let's assume that I know that most of the grain out there is not Chadash. Am I allowed to eat all of it on the grounds that I can say I'm eating from the rov? It's not so pasha. Because the principle of rov does not apply for a davar sheyesh lematirin, for an iser that will eventually become mutter of its own accord. For example, if an egg that was laid on Shabbos, which is muktzah, gets mixed in with 10,000 eggs, you're not allowed to eat any of them until Shabbos is over, because since there's a heter after Shabbos, you can't rely on rov. Now, if that would be true, Chadash itself might be called a davar sheyesh lematirin. So even the idea of rov, sfeik sfeik, okay, they ask the kasha, sfeik sfeik, well, they ask the kasha, sfeik sfeik is a problem too. But if it's just a question of rov, it might be a problem with davar sheyesh lematirin. So the truth of the matter is that the Aruch HaShulchan himself concludes that the Ramah's lamdas of sfeik sfeik, and even the heterim of rov are dubious heterim, but he feels that the heter that Klal Yisrael has followed was the heter of the Or Zeruah, paskening like the Chachamim, that the din of Chadash is an issur d'rabbanan. Now, having said that, nevertheless, many contemporary poskim urge that we try to be zohir in the Dinan of Chedesh. Of course, there's a separate issue too, and that is, okay, even if you paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, that Chedesh is noeg the Oraisa in Chutzal Eretz, is it noeg on a Goy's grave, the Oraisa, or even Drabbanan in Chutzal? That's a totally separate machlokas, and certainly there are tzedakim that Chedesh is not noeg b'shal apim. That's another machlokas, but those are two separate machlokas. Chedesh, whether it's noeg b'chutzal aretz, if it's a Jewish field, that's a machlokas in the Bavli. Whether it's noeg b'shal apim is not the feirish in the Bavli, and there are rachmanim that are mitzad of mekula.
Yeah.
Well, the Bach actually paskins. The Bach actually paskins that grain from Eretz Yisrael, Chedesh is noeg even b'shal nachri. Grain in Chutzal Eretz b'shal nachri, the Bach says, is much of a gamri. And it's interesting, the Bach writes, this is very interesting, you see, by the way, a very interesting observation about the esteem that the Maharal was held in. Now, we know the Maharal of Prague, we know him primarily as, either makes the Golem, but more importantly, we know him as the great Jewish philosopher and thinker, not necessarily as a gadol in halacha, although he actually was. And the Bach writes that he went through the sugya of Chedesh 30 years ago when he was a young man, and he came up with many, many rayas that if it's chutzla aretz b'shal nachri, it's mucho legamri, and he shared all of his rayas to the great Hamaor HaGadol, the Maharal of Prague, and the Maharal of Prague was not able to refute any of his rayas, and therefore the Bach says he's very confident that this is the halacha lemaisa. So it's interesting that the Bach went to the Maharal to discuss this halacha lemaisa, and he called him the Hamaor HaGadol. So you see that the Maharal was held in very great esteem in terms of halacha lemaisa. There is one thing the Aruch HaShulchan says, though, that I think is a little peculiar, and it sounds like it's putting the cart before the horse. That is, we know that legabe trumos and masros in Eretz Yisrael. If I buy fruit and vegetables from a goy, do I have to take off trumas and masros? That's a machlokas in the Gemara. Does a goy have a kinyan to take off the kedusha of the land, or does a goy not have a kinyan? So the Aruch HaShulchan says like this. The Aruch HaShulchan taines that certainly if we paskin a goy has a kinyan to be mafkia kedusha sa'aretz, and therefore even in Eretz Yisrael Chedesh will not apply to the goys, then the Aruch HaShulchan says it stands to reason Chedesh will not apply to the goys' produce in Chutzal Aretz, because we're not going to be more machmir to the goys' produce in Chutzal Aretz than we will be in the goys' produce in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore if you pass in Yoch Dinyan Liyatim Lahavkia, and therefore you're pater from the Yisr Chedesh on the goys' produce in Eretz Yisrael, Kal v'chomer you'll be pater from the goys' produce in Chutzal Aretz. I think that's an absolute reversal, because I would say the following. The whole shaila, if a goy's kinyan is mafkia, presupposes an exemption in chutz la'aretz. The kinyan of a goy makes it chutz la'aretz. So trumas and masros, which are totally in Eretz Yisrael, the kinyan of a goy is mafkia. But if you're going to tell me chedesh applies in chutz la'aretz, then I would say the opposite. The kinyan of a goy should make no difference. The kinyan of a goy in Eretz Yisrael should not be different than chutz la'aretz mamish. Kinyan akum lahavkia simply means we treat Eretz Yisrael in the goy's hands as if it's chutz la'aretz. So instead of saying if the goy is mavkia in Eretz Yisrael would certainly work in chutz la'aretz, I think the logic of it is exactly the opposite. If chedesh is noeg in chutz la'aretz, the goy's kinyan should have no effect whatsoever. Okay. So here, the Aruch HaShulchan says, I guess the Aruch HaShulchan says, this is actually a riot to the Or Zeruah. I mean, what does the Or Zeruah do with the fact that the Stam Mishnah in Orla goes like the Rabbi Eliezer? The Aruch HaShulchan says, and actually the Or Zeruah says it, says that the Or Zeruah is someich on a different Stam Mishnah, and the different Stam Mishnah says the Omer can be brought only from Eretz Yisrael. And the Bavli says that's not like Rabbi Eliezer, because the Omer should be able to be brought. The Omer should be able to be brought whenever there's an Yisr Chedesh. So the opposite is, the Ezra brings a riot from that standard that Chedesh is not knowing the Eliezer of Chedesh. because otherwise you would be able to bring the Omer. In other words, as we said, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you could bring the Omer even for Chutzlitz. So the Mishnah in Menachos, the Mishnah in Menachos that says Ein Mevi and Om, also in Kalim as well, is bedafter on not like Rabbi Eliezer, and that would be a Stam Mishnah to follow the view of the
Chutzlitz.
That seems to be how the Bible understands it. The Sugi of Menachos seems to say that. The Sugi of Menachos seems to say that the din that you only bring the Omer, the Eretz Yisrael, is Talroi and the parameters of the Yisra Chavit.
That the Goy, Eretz Yisrael, is not another thing that they often. How do you
see
it?
That's exactly the whole Shaila. That's exactly right. The assault of the Heter Mechira is based on the Imam Diyamar that says a Goy's Kinyan is Mafkia, takes off Kedusha Asarit. That's exactly right. Because we paskin, where Shemitah is only Drabanan, you could be Somech on that Kiyah. That's exactly the basis. My argument only is that on anything that applies in Chutz La'aretz, this Machloka should have no relevance at all. Because a Goy's Kinyan is equivalent to a Chutz La'aretz. But if you're Chayav in Chutz La'aretz, what should the Goy's Kinyan do? So it seems to me the opposite conclusion of the Aruch HaShulchan.
Okay, isn't it fair that the Sugyan of the Omer has two points? How can Rabbi Eliezer not hold that? If the whole one would think then it can expand the Isser, but it can't expand the Omer as the Pharisee. Rabbi
Eliezer? Yeah, I have to add this. I'll see, look at the Gemara. The Gemara itself says, when it says, Ein Levi en Es HaOmer Ela Me'eretz Yisrael, the Gemara's Lashon is, Keman the Low for Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara says that Rabbi Eliezer, so the Gemara itself says the Pharisee, that wherever the chukas, whatever the Chol Moshe Seicha means, it is going back both on the mitzvah of the Omer and on the Yisra of the Chavit. It's a package here. So that's what the Gemara itself is. Okay, just looked at it again. Where that leaves people is I'm not entirely sure. Certainly it means that there is an inyan, as they say, mitzvah lefarsim, that people should trek with. Now you're in a very safe time of year for the next few months, so now it's easy. What does the Babbage say to Babbage when he takes people into supermarkets and they say, see, you know, you're already keeping, you're 90% kosher already. You know, you see the people who keep kosher because they so now all of us are Zohar in the Yisra of Chadesh right now. We're all eating Yashem. So just extend it a little further. Right, you're already kosher, but it is something to be aware of. I also wanted to say just a short Torah, you know, we have Vag Baimer tomorrow. And tomorrow. And it's interesting that there are two makaros why Lag Baomer becomes somewhat of a festive day. The first makar is that the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva stopped dying on Lag Baomer. The Magefa stopped. Whether it stopped permanently or it resumed again is a machlokas of Minhagim, etc. Actually, according to the Machaber, they died through Lag Baomer. They stopped Lamed Dalet Baomer, but we're Nayeg, that we consider Yom Lamed Gimel as the Yom Psikas HaMagefa. And the second idea is that this is the Hilula de Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was Avol Shamayim, and he was Megala, many of the Sodos of the Torah at the time of his death, and therefore that became a day of Simcha, a day of light that came to the world. I just want to say it's very interesting that we know that each of the weeks of Svira is connected to a particular Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the seven Sviras. So week number one is Chesed, etc. And we know, therefore, that Lag Baomer is always in the fifth week. And the fifth week is the week of Hod. We have Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod. Hod is glory. Glory is the Midah of Aaron HaKohen. And Lag Baomer is the fifth day of the fifth week. So it's called Hod Shebahod. It is the glory of the glory. It's a double dose of Aaron, which is very interesting because that means that since Aaron's dominant Midah was Oev Shalom, Beredev Shalom. And Lag Baomer is a day where the divine Shefa is a day of a koyach to be an Oev Shalom and a Beredev Shalom. That is the day that is best suited for us to rise above pettiness and rivalry and sinas chinam. And thus, this is when the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva were able to escape the Magefa that was because Lai Nohagu Kavod Zelazeh. Again, I'm sure all of us are still very, very shaken up by the tragedy that happens in Eretz Yisrael. Every time someone dies, it's a tragedy. When we know the person, we feel it a little more because it's someone that we know and care about. And we can all hope that if Lag B'Omer is a Zman in which Shalom can come into the world through the Midah of Aaron HaKohen, it should translate both in terms of the Shalom between one Jew and another, and the Shalom just in the world generally, to be able to rise above these very, very awful things. And I will say the Shalah HaKadosh writes, and Rav Chaim Wasserman used to tell people this in the Holocaust, that when a person dies Al Kiddush Hashem, there is a bracha that they do not feel suffering at the time of their death. This is a bracha from Hashem. If a person dies Al Kiddush Hashem. The Rambam writes in a well-known letter, the Rambam writes, any person who is killed because he's a Jew is by definition considered to be Al Kiddush Hashem. And certainly if someone is killed because they're living in Eretz Yisrael and someone is trying to get rid of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and someone dies because he's living in Eretz Yisrael, certainly by definition that would also be Al Kiddush Hashem. And I hope, and we're just hearing the, not just the death, but the mutilation and all the other things that were done, I hope very much so that the Shalah HaKadosh's Havtacha was Mekuyim, that the Chalapach, as a person dies Al Kiddush Hashem, there should not be the Yisurin and the suffering that would normally accompany this. But the other thought about Lag B'Omer is the Hilul of the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. It's interesting that we have in Maseches Brachos the well-known Machlekes, V'yasafta diganecha, that Rabbi Yishmael says, oh, from here we learn out, there's a heter of parnasa. You're allowed to make a living. I might have thought, V'hagisa v'yayman v'layla, all you're allowed to do is learn. The Torah says, no, a mensch could make a parnasa. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, no. What do you mean, make a parnasa? A person's going to be choresh b'shas charisha, kotzel zareya b'shas zareya. When is he going to learn? So he learns an amazing thing. He says, Bizman she Yisrael osin ritzono shel makom, when they do the ratzon of Hashem, melachta nasis al yidei acherim, people will take care of it. A mace will happen. Just as it happened to him, right? He was in a cave for 12 years, and the ravens brought him food and everything else. It's only if you're not osin ritzono shel makom, then you have this gezeirah of parnasa. Yes, so Tesis asks the Kasha, L'chaira, isn't it considered a bracha? He says, well, if it's a bracha, they're doing mitzvahs to merit Hashem's reward, but they haven't reached the highest level of emunah. Now, the Gemara then comes out and says the following, Harbei Yosu to Rabbi Yishmael. Many people followed the way of Rabbi Yishmael, Parnasa, and they were given a blessing. And many followed the way of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and they starved. They were not Matzliach. So the Pashtus is, the Gemara indicates, the halacha is like Rabbi Yishmael, that a person is mechliyev to have some ishtaros. By the way, that's not an anti-Korel statement, because one could argue that, well, listen, if I arrange for my father-in-law to take care of me, I've made a ishtaros. In other words, I'm not somech on a neis. In other words, that's also a parnasa, right? But Rav Shimon Yochai's mita is a person has no way of making money, and he says Hashem is going to bring it to me. So that's a madrega of emunah. Now, the Vilna Gaon says an interesting deal. The Gemara condemns Harbei Asu, many people, meaning it's not the proper thing to do for the masses. Many people, the Harbei should be Rabbi Yishmael's derech. But there are Yechidei Segula in every generation who are supposed to follow the ways of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and they will be Zocha to Emunah. And the Gra says, that is the Makor of the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, where the Rambam points to Shevet Levi as the prototype of people who abandoned, actually they were commanded, to abandon involvement in this world, to be supported by others, to have bitachon in Hashem. But then the Rambam goes on and says, and this is not only addressed to Shevet Levi, but every individual who has this emunah in Hashem has the right to adopt this stance of life. So the Gros says, even though we know that the Rambam is very much in favor of Parnassah, right? There are many positives, but the marker of the Rambam is from the Harbei Asur corruption, only the Harbei, but the Miyad should do it. The Briskarev says, with this, we could answer a perplexing contradiction in Mishnayos. Because the Mishnah, at the end of Kedushin, quotes Rabbi Meir that says, L'aylam yalameid adam espino umnos nikiya v'kala. A father must teach his son an easy and clean, I'm not sure, clean, honest profession. It's not clear what clean means in that context. Yeah. Then it goes on and says, Amar Rabbi Nahurai, Meluach ani kol umnos sheva olam. I would get rid of any type of job. Eini melamed esbini ala Torah. I will only teach my son Torah. So the Pashtus, this seems to almost be a repetition of the Machlokas, Rabbi Yishmael and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Problem is, the Gemara in Ervin says, Rav Nehurai and Rabbi Meir are the same person. Nehurai is Meir. So he contradicts himself. So the Pesukei Rav says, not at all. Because the first statement is directed to the generality of Klal Yisrael. Le'olam yelamed adam es b'no. The second deals with the individual understanding that existed for his child, where he saw that his child was capable of a different madrega. And that's why it's phrased differently. It's not phrased as a generality. It is phrased as le'olam eini melamed es b'ni el Torah. And that's exactly it. Harbei asur k'ref shem v'yachay v'loy also b'yadam. That there's always a niyat that can follow even that nida as well. So that answers that. Again, it's interesting that during a Shemitah year, which we are in effect, in the ideal way of observing Shemitah, all of Klal Yisrael becomes like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that we in effect abandon the normal way that we'd make a living, and we put ourselves on the Rachamei Shemayim. So it's kind of a once in 7 year chance to be able to experience that level of Amunah and Bitachon. And again, that itself is a day of Simcha, because if Lag Ba'omer is the Midah of Rashbi, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, it's the Midah of Bitachon, Emunah, and ultimately that should give us faith in very, very difficult, dark moments, because it does remind us that ultimately we're in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, I hope that all of these things both come to pass, and something that we can feel and internalize to get us through these very, very difficult situations. Have a good Shabbos.
an after rabbi session. I want to grab my rabbi in a moment. And the questions for next year. And I said they would need to be brought in the next year. I would like to know, okay, that I was able to get tickets for last year, so I didn't need to tell me that the school is not allowed to get tickets. And check in with the family.